You've been lied to, but you don't know how. You've searched. You've struggled. You've cried out. You want the truth, but where is it? You've wandered. You've fought. You've strived, and you have not been satisfied. What is truth? Where is truth? Who is truth? The kingdom of God. Mind control. The last days. Higher dimensions. Unity. The power of faith. Discovering the truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but through me. God has promised that he will hide us under his feathers, and under his wings we will trust. His truth shall be our shield and our buckler. Discovering the Truth with Dan Devon is the premier program that is designed to center you on the kingdom of God, to equip you with faith in Jesus Christ, and to unveil the truth behind the lies. This program is designed to show you how to become more than you have ever imagined through the power of truth. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And now, prepare for your host, Dan Devon.
You're listening to Discovering the Truth with Dan Devol. This program is designed to center you on the kingdom of God, to equip you with faith in Jesus Christ, and to unveil the truth behind the lies. This program is a production of Bride Ministries, and you can find us at www.bridemovement.com. Folks, I'm excited about this week because I'm actually going solo again. Yeah, I didn't schedule a guest, partially because I've been so busy, I just haven't even gotten around to scheduling guests. It's like, oh, wow, it's already Wednesday, time to record another program. But we're going to be talking about assignment-based living. And this is actually a really exciting subject for me because, well, this is how I believe we in our Christian lives beget the most success and fruitfulness. Kind of like getting the most bang for your buck sort of thing. And you'll see why when I get into it. But before we get there, I want to talk about a few things. One, discipleship starts Monday. That's right. This Monday, October 19th, we are launching the next phase of discipleship. Praise God. And we have already completed the sign-up season. If you haven't signed up yet, I'm sorry, it's too late. But for those of you that are signed up, man, we are just going to have a great time. I have been working my behind off trying to get this spiritual warfare packet done and done in time for you guys. That way we don't get to spiritual warfare, one of the four courses that are available, and then I have to tell you, well, sorry, couldn't make it happen. But I did make it happen. Praise the Lord. By God's grace, the packet has been written. It's just about 50 pages long. 8 weeks of material on spiritual warfare ready to go. So look forward to that. Those of you that are in that class, and for those of you that are in other classes, my goodness, you are going to be getting some good stuff. We have just had the most amazing time going through these materials. And for those of you that are unfamiliar, they are Grace, In Christ, The Kingdom, and then Spiritual Warfare. Those are the four studies in Bride Discipleship. So anyway, with that said, we're excited about it. I'm going to Australia, guys. I'm going in November. November 14th, actually, I will be leaving the United States to fly to Australia for 2 weeks, where I will be speaking in conferences and doing some different meetings and all of that. I'm going to be talking a lot about the kingdom of God. I am so excited for this trip. So excited. Had a lot of hangups with my plane ticket, believe it or not. Turns out, I think the devil is kind of not wanting me to get to Australia, but too bad for him. All the ticket stuff got straightened out. Praise the Lord. Kicked the devil in the teeth on that one, and we are good to go. So I'll be gone for 2 weeks in November. What that means is as far as like this radio broadcast, I probably won't be doing a podcast like I do now. However, we're looking at recording the messages that I give while I'm in Australia so that I can upload them to my program and you guys can listen to them, even though you're not able to, you know, drive over to Port Macquarie, Australia. So we're really looking forward to that coming up. If you haven't gotten your hands on Kingdom Government and the Promise of Sheep Nations, well, I got physical copies of it last weekend. And if you are on our email list, you are able to buy a copy at a special rate. I basically sold the number of copies that I got initially, so I'm going to have to order another batch. I'll be making them available on the website soon. Why haven't you made it available on the website already, Daniel? Well, frankly, because I don't know that I want to keep up with the shipping. But I do want to sell the books. So I will be making those available on the website. If you weren't on our email list, you won't be able to get the special rate price for the book, but you'll be able to get it nonetheless if you're kind of like, yeah, I would like a copy of Kingdom Government and the Promise of Sheep Nations in print. So that'll be going up on the website soon. And Higher Dimensions, Parallel Dimensions, and the Spirit Realm is in editing. So when I get it back, I'll be going through it one more time. I don't know that I'm going to meet my goal of having it in print by mid-November because of everything else I'm doing. That seems to be virtually impossible at this point. But rest assured, if it's not done by then, it'll be done by the time I get back from Australia, which will be early December. Praise the Lord. And so we are plugging ahead with that. You know, we have other things on our agenda, folks. We want to build a media studio. We want to build an internet-based ministry service. We have plans to build facilities to help people get free of dissociative identity disorder because of government-sponsored mind control agendas and satanic ritual abuse. All on the drawing board for Bride Ministries. Also, a DID coaching school. Folks, you have no idea. I'm trying to pull all this stuff off. I must be crazy. Like, how can one person really do this? So, you know, right now I'm looking for how I can expand and release certain things that I do now into the hands of others so that my hands are free to really focus on some of these bigger vision type things. But man, are we plugging away. And one thing after the next, folks, it's all coming. And a lot of it's coming next year. So praise the Lord. Those of you that have been partnering with us financially, I just want to say thank you again. Thank you. You guys are awesome. You're making dreams come true. You're making it possible for us to help survivors because we are helping survivors. And the more that we raise, the more survivors we will help. And the more people that we will train to help more survivors. I'm trying to train people right now in creative ways. I'm trying to, but that when we establish that online internet-based DID coaching school, that's really going to be the launch pad to get people equipped for this work. My goodness, there's a lot of work that needs to be done. Well, I'm done talking about all this stuff. Folks, you know what's going on. We're going to get to assignment-based living in just a minute. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall, and we are talking today about assignment-based living. And this program's kind of like a coaching program. I'd say it's like, you know, not so much, man, we're going to get into some really, really deep teaching today or some, you know, really like far out there stuff, which we do on this program all the time. I mean, today I just felt in my spirit, like, ever since this weekend, I'm like, man, what am I going to talk about this weekend? It just kept coming up. Assignment-based living. I remember when I was at a conference in Dublin, Ohio, the World Turned Upside Down conference. I was on a panel with several individuals, Coach Dave Dalvenmeyer, John Haller, Doug Krieger, and hosting that panel was Doug and Joe Hagman. And we were talking about some things, you know, what's coming to America, what do people do, what do you do? And so when it came my turn to talk on one of these subjects, the questions that the Hagmans were asking, I took it straight to this concept called assignment-based living. And I said, listen, regardless of what's coming on the earth, we, as kingdom citizens, being kingdom-minded, have to be living based on assignment. And see, that's how we avoid going into fear or uncertainty and, you know, just presumption on what's going to happen or, you know, what God's going to do. Assignment-based living is really the key that unlocks so much in our lives. And I'm going to break it down today because a lot of the things that we talk about on this program have a lot of significance when it comes to last day stuff. I mean, it's like, yeah, we're at the end of the age. I mean, there are things that's happening and we are exposing it. We're right on the front lines. A lot of our guests, you know, they're coming out of various areas in the New World Order plan. They are survivors that, you know, we're helping to deprogram. We're getting their stories. We're putting it out there. Information that people just do not know. I mean, and we're talking about dimensions. We're talking about stuff like transhumanism. We're talking about UFOs. We're talking about New World Order, all these things. Well, what do we do with all of it? And that's why I'm talking about assignment-based living. You know, how do we live more effectively? What do we do in times of uncertainty when it seems like the world is collapsing around us? And for all of you haters out there, you know, what do we do when we're told that a pre-trib rapture is going to happen during the fourth blood moon? I'm sorry. I just can't help myself. I mean, I'm sorry for all you pre-tribbers out there. I don't want to bash pre-tribbers, but I just want to bash some of the ideologies that go around it. Like, hey, don't do anything. Just, you know, praise Jesus because he's coming before the fourth blood moon. I mean, he's got to be coming. It all lines up. Does it? Does it really? Did anyone get raptured? Okay. So, see, assignment-based living allows us to avoid a lot of pitfalls and bad advice. So, we're going to talk about it. Now, I'm going to get into my personal life a little bit here. Because I need to say, I need to get something off of my chest. Praise the Lord. This past weekend, I actually kind of went into a state of overwhelm. I'm not going to lie. I typically try to take a day off a week. Because, I mean, you guys should see me go. I literally am rarely doing one thing at a time. If I'm not doing two things at a time, it's because I'm deep into spirit, probably confronting some kind of principality in the heavens with one of my clients. Okay, I mean, that requires a majority of my focus there. But, I mean, like throughout the day, if I'm doing two things at once all day long, trying to keep up with the pace I feel like God has set for me because there's so much to do and time is short. And I have just continual responsibility being added to my plate because, well, you know, the Bible says he who is faithful in little will be faithful in much. And what I'm seeing is God expanding things. And I can feel it, you know, it's like this tension in the spirit. Other people are telling me the same thing. They're like, you know, Daniel, I just see that God is really going to expand this vision that you're going after and what you're doing in Bride Ministries and all that. And, you know, I'm just like, yes and amen. And it's happening. So I feel the pressure, right? And so I typically try to take a day off, but the past couple weeks, forget about it, you know. I was taking emergency calls on my day off. I lost like every day off. Like I went 3 weeks straight, 7 days a week. Just, I mean, really just plowing. And so I got to this past Saturday and I was like really, really tired. Why was I so tired? I mean, I released Kingdom Government in print, meaning that I had to jump through a lot of hurdles to make that happen, go through the book, go through the typeset, get the rest of the cover done, all these things. I have been preparing Higher Dimensions, Parallel Dimensions, and Spirit Realm. I have to do this weekly program. I have 17 clients I care for deeply, most of which are highly programmed and in need of very intense ministry that is extremely spiritually draining, like you can't imagine. The spiritual warfare packet I've had to do for upcoming discipleship, just keeping up with my own vision casting, the logging of all the donations and everything else come through Bride Ministries, invoicing for my own personal business, cleaning, chores. I mean, you just, it's on and on and on, cooking. It's so much, right, on my plate. And so, like, 3 weeks straight go by, I just run out. So Saturday comes, and I'm like, done. I'm so tired that I'm kind of like dizzy while I'm walking around. And so, you know, I sit on my couch early in the morning. Well, not early. It's like 10 because I slept in. And there goes my phone. Buzz, 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 buzz. And of course, what is it? It's emails. It's all the emails that we're getting in. Praise the Lord. And I so appreciate the fact that you guys listen to this program and hear me at other places. You're responding. That's awesome. Which is why I now have a wonderful secretary named Nikki. And if you guys have gotten an email back from Nikki, you know, she is so sweet, and she's really talented at writing emails that reflect the heart that we have for you guys. I mean, and so anyway, that's why I brought her on, because I'll tell you what, if she wasn't there, I wouldn't be getting back to anybody. I mean, I'm like, but there, my phone is buzz, 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 buzz. She's sending me all these emails she's forwarding, and other people that have my email address that just have it, you know, those are coming in. And I'm so tired, and I'm sitting there. I'm like, oh my gosh, God, I can't keep up. I'm just done. How am I supposed to do this? Okay. I'm literally dizzy, And here is the demand on my day off, you know. And so you know what I did? I didn't hit my knees. Folks, I'm sorry. I turned my phone off. Forget you guys. And I just chilled out all day. Got my energy back, you know, and then back to work Sunday. So on Sunday, I sat down to pray. And I was like, God, oh, this is really getting intense. And, you know, not only do I have everything else that I just mentioned, but I also have this upcoming conference now in Australia, and I'm like, God, you know, I'm really feeling like I'm failing people, because I have all these people reaching out. Everyone wants to talk to me. People want me to answer very extensive emails that are very intricate, have a lot of questions about very complex spiritual things that I could answer if I have time, but I don't. And now I feel like I'm failing. And God's like, Daniel, remember as you have learned. So here comes the wisdom of God, right? He said, focus on your assignments and everything else will fall into place. And then I just hit that moment of liberty where I was like, oh, well, that's right. That's my advice. I learned that a while ago. See, if I'm focused on my assignments, then the things that I am responsible to do for my boss, where my reward comes from, will be taken care of. And he'll take care of everything else. And so that was liberating. And I said, you know, I have to talk about this week because see, many times as Christians, we lose sight of assignment, and then we become unproductive and unfruitful in the thing we're actually supposed to be doing. And it's so easy to get distracted by seemingly good things, because I'll tell you what, responding to emails is a great thing. And I love to do it, especially when I can really help somebody, send them a quality response to their questions that, you know, change things for their lives. But I also understand that, well, at the phase I'm moving into now, I literally, there are not enough hours in the day for me to respond to everything that comes in. And it has nothing to do with not wanting to. It's all about time and being human. Well, anyway, God dealt with this issue in me on Sunday, and I was like, yes, you know what? I'm going back into that mode, you know, tunnel vision. What is my assignment right now? I will focus on that, and everything else, I will get to it when the time opens itself to me. The Bible says in the book of Luke, And this story is just amazing to me. So when they had performed all things according to the law of the Lord, they returned to Galilee, to their own city, Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. His parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. When they had finished the days, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem, and Joseph and his mother didn't know it. But supposing him to have been in the company, they went a day's journey and sought him among their relatives and acquaintances. So when they did not find him, they returned to Jerusalem seeking him. Now, so it was that after 3 days, they found him in the temple, sitting amongst the teachers, both listening to them and asking them questions. And all who heard him were astonished with his understanding and answers. So when they saw him, they were amazed. And his mother and father, his mother said to him, "Son, why have you done this to us? Look, your father and I have sought you anxiously." And he said to them, "Why did you seek me? Did you not know that I must be about my father's business?" But they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. See, Jesus had a revelation. And I love this revelation because it's right in your face. He's 12 years old. The Bible says he was already full of wisdom and grace. What did his wisdom and grace lead him to conclude? I must be about my father's business. Meaning that when my father's business comes into competition with your business, his wins every time. I am going to be faithful to the things my father has called me to do, regardless of how that affects the people in my life. Because you know what? I have my priorities straight. See, many Christians, we don't have our priorities straight. We have all kinds of convolution on our priorities. Really, oftentimes for Christians, our number one priority is, what do I feel like doing right now? And, you know, self, right? Because we tend to be selfish people. I mean, just by sin nature, it's like, what about me? You know, so it's all about self. And Jesus had a revelation. He said, it's all about God. It's all about the Father. And so I'm going to be about my Father's business. Now, when I'm bringing this back to bigger picture, right? Well, what do we do when someone tells us the fourth blood moon will be on the, will be the date of the rapture, right? The rapture will be on the fourth blood moon. Well, did God give you any instructions that have to do with a time period after the fourth blood moon? Because if he did, guess what? Focus on your assignment. Why? Because when the fourth blood moon comes and goes and there is no, you know, I'm not even going to say it. I feel like I'm cussing right now. Pre-trib rapture. Like, ooh. When it doesn't happen, then you don't lose any time. See? So this idea that you are about the Father's business actually helps you to avoid pitfalls. Like really bad advice, right? God says, I need you to start a business. And the world says, well, the market's going to collapse. So who do you listen to, God or the world? Well, I must be about my father's business. See, even when other people don't understand the decisions you are making, if you are taking your instructions from the Father, you're always going to be moving forward in kingdom agenda. And the interesting thing about kingdom agenda and the Father's business is at the end of your life, when you stand before God, you're rewarded based on your your response to your father's business, not on your response to Joe Schmo's business or what Joe Schmo wanted you to do or what Mama wanted you to do or what, you know, this Reverend Deacon something wanted you to do. You know, you're a judge based in response to what your father's business was and how faithful you were to accomplish it. So, right, eternity is hinging on the ability for you to be busy about your father's business. Now, what does your father's business come to you as? It comes to you as assignments. So, we learn from Jesus. The first revelation that we have of Jesus's mindset is assignment-based living. Can you believe that? Like, this is the revelation that You know, Jesus, at the age of 12, managed to grasp, which set his life on a course that would ultimately lead him to transforming the entire cosmos by the age of 33. He was so sold on this concept that in 3 years, he changed the world because he said, I only do what I see my father doing. What a revelation, right? What a revelation. I only do what I see my father doing. But his mom said, what you're doing makes me feel bad. He said, tough luck. I am busy about my father's business. And you know, as folks, as kingdom citizens, accountable to God, this is when we transition into a life that is truly fruitful. Now, some of you, right, you have assignment. God said, go do this. And you know what you're doing? You're Facebooking. God didn't tell you to be on Facebook for 6 hours yesterday. Why were you on Facebook for 6 hours yesterday? Well, it made me feel good. I wanted to. So-and-so drug me into a conversation, made me talk to him for 6 hours. Messenger. Well, okay, that's fine. But, see, you failed at being about your father's business. When God gives us one thing to do, and we put that aside and say, well, we'll just do this, right? We're not being about our father's business. Now, when we understand that assignment-based living is a key that unlocks our not only our destiny in Christ, but so much more. We're going to get into all the things it unlocks, you know, but it also unlocks just positive living. I mean, seriously, we avoid so much when we just stick to our assignments. We graduate faster in God's kingdom. More opens up to us. God can trust us with more. So Jesus had a revelation, but guess who didn't have this revelation? Samson. So we're going to look at what happened to Samson, because Samson is such a picture of so many believers I know personally, you know, because see, he just didn't get it. He didn't get assignment-based living. Look what happened. In Judges 13:1, it says, again, the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Okay, so here we have a situation where, man, Israel, right, they're in covenant with God, and they keep doing dirty. They're just not doing it right. They have an agreement to uphold, right? God upholds his side of the covenant. They have to uphold their side of the agreement. They have to follow the law, and they don't. So the Bible, I mean, God was clear in his stipulations on that covenant that he made with Moses. He said, if you do not follow my laws, you will be cursed in the city, cursed in the country, cursed when you come in, cursed when you go out. You'll be the tail and not the head. You'll be beneath and not above. You'll be the debtor only and not the lender. I mean, everything you're going to do is cursed. There's a long list of curses in Deuteronomy 28, and God is not a man that he should lie. So, after Israel goes and does dirty, God has to, you know, say, well, you know, you get your butt kicked. Good. Go ahead, don't fulfill your side of the bargain. Get your butt kicked. You get the butt kicked. Now the Philistines are kicking their butt. But God is great in mercy, right? And so they're under the Philistines for 40 years, but then God, he raises up the deliverance. And in Judges 13:6, the prophecy comes to Samson's parents, and it says, for behold, you shall conceive and bear a son, and no razor shall come upon his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb, and he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Now, let me ask you a question. Where in that statement is assignment? Oh, right there at the end, right? He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So, see, Samson came into this world with assignment, just like me and you. As a matter of fact, in the book of Ephesians 2:10, it says, we walk in the works which were prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. In other words, God has works and things he desires us to do that are already prepared, waiting for us to agree with them and get to our Father's business. We actually are unpacking the things that God has prepared for us into this earth. Just like Samson, he was supposed to unpack the deliverance that God had for the nation of Israel into the earth. It came in with him. We're going to get into that. God has an inheritance in you. God wants to unpack you. You don't know what you look like when you've been unpacked by God. Neither did Samson. He was confused, right? So he comes in. Guess what he wants to do? He wants to hook up. Yo, hey you, cutie, right? So Samson's strutting his stuff later on. We see him chapter 14 of the book of Judges. Oh, what a mess, right? So we're going to get to that. The thing is, when we get an assignment, the most productive way to live is to focus all available resources on executing that assignment. Let me say that again. You know, when you want to be productive for God's purposes, kingdom business, so on and so forth, you want to focus available resources on executing assignment, not wasting time figuring out how the rapture is going to fit into a four blood moons. I mean, gosh, there I go again. I am just really being bad today. Bad, Daniel. Bad. Why are you being so mean to these people? Oh, Lord have mercy. Help me. You see, I wish I had someone here to edit me, but there's no one here to edit me. So, like, I could just say all this stuff and get away with it. But, okay, right. Here we are. We get an assignment from God. We can't let these distractions detour us from getting real business taken care of. It isn't your business that will graduate you into God's next season for your life. It's your Father's business that will graduate you into God's next season for your life. It's your Father's business that will bring you a reward. Right, let me give you an example. Okay, so once upon a time, there's a boy, right? And this boy, I mean, this boy is cool, right? He's talented. He's got potential. Kind of like you, right? And this boy has a dad, and dad has a business, man. And this dad's business, it works. It's a sound business model. You know what they do? They make all kinds of toys. And so the boy comes of age, and the daddy's like, yo, son, listen to me. I'm going to hook you up with an opportunity, right? And really, I want to groom you to be an heir to the business. An heir to the business, right? You're my son. I want you to really be in a position of power here. But I'm going to bring you in because we're going to get you started at the base stuff. Because you got to learn how this thing works from the bottom up. See, I'm not just going to make you, vice president here. You're 10 years old. Here, just come with me. And you know what? I'm even going to give you a reward for what I tell you to do. I will pay you cash. And what I want you to do is come with me and sit in this factory. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you some parts, right? And what I need you to do is assemble these toy trucks. For every toy truck you assemble, I will pay you $5. The average time it takes to assemble a toy truck is 5 minutes. So literally, you could make $30 an hour by sticking to your assignment. At the end of 8 hours, you'll have made some good money. I mean, that'll buy you some nice stuff, you know, some new clothes and some shoes. So come with me to my business and let's go. So the boy goes, yeah, I'll go with you, right? They go and he sits down in front of the stuff and he's like, okay, go build your trucks. I'm going to go and I'll come back later today and we'll see how you did. So the boy looks at the toy trucks and then gets out his doodle pad. A doodle pad, right? Because even though his father told him to build the toy trucks for a reward, he decided, I want to draw pictures. So not that drawing pictures are wrong. There's nothing wrong with drawing pictures, but there he goes doodling, right? Doodle, doodle, doodle. So he draws some circles, draws some squares, draws a house, and some other things, you know. Fills up 5 pages of drawing doodles and all that. Dad comes back 8 hours later. Now he's got 5 pages of artwork. He says, Dad, check it out. I totally drew like 5 pages of artwork. So I think I should get a raise. Now, you're thinking like, oh, there goes Daniel with one of his ridiculous examples. Of course the boy's not going to get a raise. He didn't do what his father told him to do. His father's not selling artwork. His father's selling trucks. So his father can't really reward him for doing work that has nothing to do with the business model. Oh, but God didn't tell me to sit on Facebook for 6 hours yesterday. God didn't tell me to quit my job before the fourth blood moon. See, the thing is, sometimes we get confused and distracted. And so the father comes in and he's like, oh, son, What did you do? He's like, look at me, Daddy. Be so proud of me. Look at all these pictures. Now, where's my money? You're not getting any money. Oh, no, no, no. There's no reward for that. Well, why not? Because you didn't do what I told you to do. And what you did was unprofitable for my business. You see, if we translate that into kingdom talk, what our Father in heaven says is what you're doing is unprofitable for my kingdom. Now, again, nothing wrong with Facebook. I'm on Facebook. Come on now. Nothing wrong with being on Facebook for several hours if you don't have other business to take care of. The problem is when certain things begin to occupy the time that you should be committing to getting projects done that are in line with your assignment. He says, God has nothing against free time, but it's when you time supersedes Father's business time and kingdom work is not getting done. Because Jesus said, I must be busy about my Father's business. So we need, as the body of Christ, to graduate into this mindset where, oh, no, we're not going to be wasting time, precious time. The end of the age is upon us. And so many things are coming on the earth. But the best thing that I can do to find with my time is to complain that Dan Duvall laughs too much during his programs. Like, you know, I'm amazed at the way people find, you know, opportunity, ways people find opportunity to just waste time and to waste the resources of God doing activities that have absolutely nothing to do with fruitfulness. They won't get a reward. See, that boy should have just committed himself to building those trucks. Now, he could have drawn and doodled when he got home during his free time. But when he was on the clock for Father's business, he should have been doing Father's business. You've been wondering why things haven't been coming together for you in your life. And yet, you've been ignoring your assignment and substituting fear, agendas of other people, time wasters, and foolishness for the Father's business. And I can say that because I'm on the radio and I'm not actually talking to you in person. But see, many Christians say, God won't tell me what to do. And this is always funny because if you ask them, well, what's the last thing God told you to do? They say, oh, that's the thing I didn't do. And sometimes we get confused. We think that God's going to keep giving us new assignments and new jobs and new, you know, all kinds of glorious things and promotions and stuff. But the Bible says, he who is faithful in little will also be faithful in much. God needs to see that you are faithful with the little things before he can graduate you into bigger things. He needs to see that you can take a little assignment before he can graduate you into a bigger assignment. See, if the father can't see that the son can build the toy trucks for 8 hours, how's he going to make him vice president and pay him, you know, $300,000 a year to do that job? We can't. Because as vice president, you know what he'll do? He'll pull out his doodle pad. And while the company is falling apart and people are like crying out for deliverance from this vice president that is totally incompetent at his job, you know, he'll be sitting there still doodling. That's the thing. If you're not faithful in little, you can't be faithful in much. So you have to be faithful, right? And so how do you be faithful to your daddy in heaven? Well, you be busy about your father's business. It's called assignment-based living. So we continue in Samson's story, right? Samson had an assignment. Deliver the children of Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. Simple enough, right? So Samson, in chapter 14, goes down to a place called Timnah. He sees a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. Oh, come on, man. Okay, now, if God says, stop drinking alcohol, and then you go to the supermarket and buy 3 bottles of wine, that's sleeping with the enemy. Well, I'm just buying it because I want to decorate my house. No, and everybody knows you're not going to decorate your house with those bottles, maybe once they're empty. But the thing is, right, You can't mix this stuff, right? So Samson's confused, whereas he has an assignment. He's inadvertently rebelling against his assignment. Okay, so let's see what happens, right? So he goes up and tells his father and mother, saying, I've seen a woman of, in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines, and now therefore, get her for me as a wife. I want a wife, and I want her. They come back to him, and they say, come on, man. Is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren or all of my people that you have to go, you got to get a wife from these uncircumcised Philistines? I mean, you got hybrids over there, for crying out loud. Samson says to his father, go get her for me. She pleases me well, right? This is his comment. See, Samson gets distracted by the hottie with the body. Now, some of you got it. Yeah, you're getting distracted by the hottie with the body. You have an assignment, and you're distracted. Some of you ladies, the same thing, the hottie with the body. Maybe he doesn't have a body. Maybe he just has a big wallet. Okay, let me stop. But the thing is, right, we get distracted. And so while he's supposed to be delivering the nation, he's crushing on this woman that's in the nation he's supposed to be delivering the people of Israel from. He's attempting to get in bed with the devil. Well, it should come as no surprise that the attack on his life began immediately. Now, as we read the story of Samson, many of us get excited because we see how he tore the lion to pieces with his bare hands, right? At one point, a lion attacks him. Lion, ah! And there's Samson. He goes, yeah, right! You know, and the Spirit of the Lord comes on him. He flexes his big biceps, boom! And then, you know, he just grabs that lion and just rips him. Like, ah! Done. You're done, fool. And so the lion's out, right? Dead. The carcass. But, you know, if you really think about it, that was an attack because Samson was going somewhere he wasn't supposed to be going. And, you know, he took the grace of God and applied it to his situation so that he was delivered from that situation. But at the same time, I mean, that was a warning. It's like, look, just caution, man. The attack's already started. Maybe you should turn around. Like, lion already attacked you. It only goes downhill from here. It's the same thing, many of you, you know. You got attacked by a lion. You know you're doing wrong. And then you say, well, I survived it. So I'm going to keep going. I got away with it, you know. But God has an assignment for you. See, what are you doing? So he goes, right, and he takes this wife in Timnah. And what happens is so ridiculous. I just have to read it. I love the story of Samson because it's one of those areas of the Bible where it's just ridiculous. You're like, you just roll your eyes. You're like, ugh, this guy is so frustrating. What is your issue, bro? And the funny thing is that we're reading his story but doing the same things in our own lives. So he goes down and he says, you know, we're going to get married and we're at the wedding and some of these Philistines, they come to him and he's Mr. Macho, right? He knows, like, I'm the tough guy here. Let me pose a riddle to you. So he starts dialoguing with these Philistines and he's like, if you can correctly solve and explain it to me within the 7 days of the feast, then I will give you 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing. But if you can't explain the riddle to me, then you shall give me 30 linen garments and 30 changes of clothing, right? So, you know, either I win or you win, and one of us is going to get a loaded closet. And all the women said, amen. So here we have it, and they say, pose your riddle that we may hear it, right? So they're up for the challenge. And he says, out of the eater came something to eat, and out of the strong came something sweet. What is it? Right now, the story is that lion that he killed, well, bees came, built a nest in the lion's carcass and made honey. And he, on his way back from that journey to Timnah initially, you know, got some of the honey, ate it, and gave some of it to his parents, and they ate it. And so, you know, out of his macho and all that, he said, check this out, you know, I'm awesome, and I'm going to make a riddle about it just to prove how cool I am, right? So here he asks him, and then in verse 15, the Bible says, it came to pass on the seventh day that they said to Samson's wife, entice your husband that he may explain the riddle to us, or else we will burn you and your father's house with fire. And then, you know what? They were serious because later on she did get burned with fire and her dad too. But here, right, the threats come. Don't sleep in the camp of the enemy. It's just bad, right? And so they come, they make the threat. Of course, she's not entirely too like confident in Samson's ability to be a protector and covering. She's a Philistine. So, you know, after they say they're going to burn her father's house with fire, they say, have you invited us in order to take what is ours? Is that not so? So here's the guilt trip, right? And so here, Samson's wife, she comes now to him and weeps and says, oh, you hate me. Anyone ever heard that from the spouse? You hate me, right? Okay, here, what do you want? You do not love me, and you have posed a riddle to the sons of my people, but you have not explained it to me. Okay, so now guilt trip comes. So he says, look, I have not explained it to my father or mother, so should I explain it to you? But she kept on and on. So she's weeping up about it the whole time. This feast is going on 7 days, right? It's supposed to be celebrating here. She's upset. And it happens on the seventh day, he tells her, because she pressed him so much. He tells her, like, well, I killed the lion. Bees built a nest in there, made honey. So she goes and explains the riddle to the Philistines. They're her people, right? And so the men of the city come to him on the seventh day before the sun goes down, and they say, what is sweeter than honey and what is stronger than a lion? We got you, bro. And he says, if you had not plowed my heifer, you would not have solved my riddle. So he knew, right? He was a smart guy. He wasn't dumb. Like, yeah, he was foolish, but he wasn't dumb. And so he figures out what happened. And he says, seriously, when he says you have not, if you had not plowed with my heifer, what he's really saying is if you hadn't messed with my wife. Old school language. Don't call your wife a heifer and think that you're Samson. Please. So verse 19, right? The Spirit of the Lord came upon him mightily, and he went down to Ashkelon, killed 30 of their men, took their garments, and gave it to the people that cheated him on the riddle. This guy's intense. And so his anger was aroused, and he went back to his father's house. And Samson's wife was given to his companion, who had been his best man. Now, can you imagine this, right? So his wife is miserable the entire 7 days of the feast. And then she tells his enemies the riddle. He goes and kills 30 people, gives his garments to the people who cheated on his riddle, and then leaves and gets his wife given to someone else. Now, this is what happens when you sleep in the camp of the enemy. Everything you thought you would gain gets taken away from you, and you lose even more than that. It's really a bad call. Now, what was Samson's problem here? I suggest if he was not confused and had gone after assignment-based living, he would have never ended up in this situation at all. As a matter of fact, you wouldn't be in the situation you're in either. Because, see, the thing is, when we begin to live outside of assignment, we get into traps. We get into time wasters. We get into approaches to life that are highly unprofitable, unsuccessful, spiraling round and round and round about the same mountain, never moving forward. We are stuck or moving backwards. It's one step forward, three steps back. See, assignment-based living sets us free from all of this because we say, you know what? Okay, let me stop being selfish. Let me stop living after my own idols on my heart and say, you know what, God? I'm going to be busy about your business and see what it means to live after and according to your kingdom. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. What things? Everything that the Gentiles seek after, that will be added to you as you seek to fulfill your Father's business. So we're wasting time, right? And we're getting into these vain philosophies. I'm going to quit my job because the rapture is obviously happening on the fourth blood moon. We do things that just don't make sense. Why? Well, we're not hearing from God. We're listening to YouTubes. Okay, so here's the thing. Many of us don't understand that assignment-based living allows for God to unpack us. If you go on a trip and you take a suitcase with you and you never unpack it, you will run out of clothing on day one and there will be lack. If you open your suitcase and pull out all of your clothes that are in the suitcase, you will have abundance. If you take all of your money out of your wallet and all of your bank cards and you go to a carnival, you will have lack. You will not be able to buy food and there will be no rides for you. But if you keep all of the money in your wallet and when you get to the carnival, you begin to unpack your wallet and you spend your cash, you will be able to get food, you will get rides, you will have a good time. In other words, when we unpack things, there is abundance and blessing. And many Christians don't realize that God is able to unpack us because we are loaded. Loaded with inheritance that is beyond all imagination. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, eye has not seen nor has ear heard the things which the Lord has prepared for them that love him. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 1, therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches and the glory of his inheritance in the saints. See, many Christians struggle with the idea that God is the source of our inheritance and we receive an inheritance from him. Like we actually have an inheritance in him. We struggle with that. We're like, we're not good enough for God's inheritance. We're not good enough. You know, God doesn't really love us enough to give us an inheritance. Yeah, maybe he died for our sins so that we could go to heaven when we die, but an inheritance? Well, that's really pushing it. Man, like, you know, get over yourself. The thing is, not only do we have an inheritance in God, the Bible says that God has an inheritance in the saints. That means inside of you, there is something that is so precious, so valuable, and so impressive that God calls it his inheritance. And so what God does is that as we are faithful to our assignments and callings, meaning the things that God literally designed us and put us in the earth to do, we are allowing him to unpack us so that we are an expression of his inheritance and produce an abundance in this earth. See, you don't know what it's like to be unpacked until you have walked in the assignments of God to the extent that he has been able to unpack you for all your worth. Because he can't unpack you if you're not in his will. Because when he unpacks you, what he is unpacking is his investment in all he designed you to be. So if all you are doing and being is what the devil wants you to be, God's hands are tight. He can't unpack you. You have to get on board with him. Means get busy about your father's business. This is such a revelation. Because literally, assignment-based living not only allows us to be more productive in life right now, but it opens us up to life in the years to come while we're still on earth and abundance in the afterlife as we receive reward for the things we have done. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that the eyes of your understanding must be enlightened by the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Christ for you to understand that God has an inheritance in you. In other words, that word, that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that is the word heart, cardia. The eyes of your heart being enlightened. Isn't it amazing that you can't see all that God has invested in you if your heart's bad? You need revelation from God in your heart to even see yourself for all your worth. And many Christians, they refuse to let God take them there. They're so stuck in their rut of poor view of self and self-defeatism, self-hatred, self-loathing. I mean, it's like their heart's corrupted against the revelation of their own preciousness. They can't see it. And God's like, dude, I have a spirit of wisdom and revelation. I want you to receive it. so that your heart can be cleansed of all of that garbage. And you can see me, you can see my kingdom, and you can see you for all I designed you to be. Wow. Wow. And then God has this inheritance in us that he can unpack as we get on board with his agendas. Assignment-based living. Back to Samson. The amazing thing, right? It's such a way to illustrate this concept of assignment-based living, Samson. Do you think Samson stopped wasting time and just got to work applying himself to his assignment after he really got his butt kicked? He lost the riddle. He lost his wife. And he went back home with his tail between his legs. I mean, yeah, 30 guys died, sure. But, I mean, really, I mean, that was total disrespect. Here, your wife gets to go to somebody else. See ya. You know, well, he didn't quit. He didn't just say, you know what, God? Maybe after getting my butt kicked like that, I should just try your way. No, of course not. Would you have done it that way? He went back. I want my wife back. I want my Philistine wife back that complained our entire wedding feast and then told my secrets to my enemies and is now married to my best man. Like, he goes to the dad. He's like, I want her back. So many of us, right? We keep going back to the same garbage. We're going back. God's tearing us off of it. He's like, look, you're getting your butt kicked. Stop it. I have an assignment for you. I want to pay you to do it. I have a reward. And we're like, oh, I don't understand. I'm not worth anything. I just want my garbage. Last week, I talked about our heart being full of poop in a bucket. It's like we're dipping it into this well of living water, pulling it back up, and all there's still just poop. And then we dump it into our brain, right? Because our heart's corrupted. So, yeah, I mean, here we have Samson. He doesn't learn. We don't learn. This is a story of so many Christians I know. And you know what? The funny thing is, Samson was Old Covenant. The Bible says John the Baptist was the greatest of all prophets. Yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than him. Meaning there was an upgrade that happened when God began to call us the sons and daughters of God because of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And in his folly, you know what? He's doing better than some of us. And what he did was really, I mean, like, that kind of rubs you raw. You're like, come on, dude. That's what God's doing. And his angels. You're like, come on, dude. Oh, not again. No, again? Really? Again? Oh, come on, again. See, and so, right? Because we refuse to accept the fact that God might have something better. He might have an assignment for us. As a matter of fact, we're often doing things we shouldn't be doing in lieu of the assignment we know has been assigned to us, hoping that if enough time gets wasted, God will just give us something else to do that's more in line with the garbage we're buying into, as if God would do that, right? So, okay, he goes back, tries to get his wife back. His father-in-law blocks him. He says, come on, man. I thought you hated her, you know, but she has a sister. Yeah, you know, sister's kind of a hottie with a body too, brother. Why don't you take her? Now, Samson, yeah, he's irked at this one. He's like, no. So that leads to a series of events. Eventually, the woman and her father do get burned with fire. Samson ties the tails of 30 foxes together, sets them with torches, and burns down an entire field. Then they come after Samson. They want to tie him to a rock and, you know, he has the Spirit of the Lord come on him, breaks all of his bands, picks up the jawbone of a donkey, and there's a famous slaughter of 3,000 Philistines. All this stuff transpires, right? And of course, God, right, the Bible says, he is able to work all things to the good of those that love him and are called according to his purpose, right? Samson was called according to the purposes of God. And so God takes all this foolishness and folly and actually turns it into a victory. And then he says, you know, Samson began to judge Israel for 20 years. Well, he still didn't get it, though. Like, even though God took this mess and turned it around and said, well, you know, we can make this work, right? Samson's still finding ways to sabotage his life. Hey, come on. Just stick to the plan. The Bible says we all behold with open faces in a glass the glory of the Lord are taken are made into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord, God intends to take us from one stage of glory to the next, from one stage of influence to the next, as we go from one assignment to the next, fulfilling all the things that God has put on our plate for us to do, that He wants to pay us for and reward us for and bless us for and promote us with. But see, Samson, again, he got a victory, and then he's like back to his old stuff. Next chapter, Delilah. Oh, come on. And before Delilah, he's sleeping with a prostitute, right? So, okay, get over the prostitute. Now we're with Delilah, and everyone knows about Samson and Delilah. Man, this woman is like, in your face. I'm going to destroy your life, bro. So help me. Some of you, you're in relationships with people. They're like literally telling you to your face, I want to destroy your life. So keep your relationship with me completely boundaryless so I can walk all over your face and ensure that you're so wasted by the time I get done with you, you can never fulfill the assignments of God. Hello, I'm Hater and Mr. Professional Time Waster, right? So, you know, we buy into this stuff. Samson bought into it. We're buying into it, right? And all this stuff takes us away from assignment-based living. So Samson, instead of judging Israel and focusing on his assignment, is sleeping around with this woman, Delilah, who's actively telling Samson's enemies what he tells her about his weakness. She says, what's your weakness? Well, he gives her an example. Oh, my weakness is this. He lies. She tells his enemies. And then they come, they do that thing, and he beats them up. And then she complains at him for lying to her. And ask him again, what is your weakness? Now, you would think, Samson's not dumb. I mean, come on, you figured out the other one. Why are you not figuring this one out? But he still doesn't figure it out. And so they do it again, right? Round two. They tie his hair up. And she goes, tells his enemies. They come in. He breaks all the bands, beats them up again. And she complains. How dare you lie to me? I mean, come on. Samson, tell me, really, how can I destroy your life? I'm so tired of you lying to me about how I can destroy your life, because I'm tired of telling the people that are coming to destroy your life how to do it and being wrong. So tell me already so I can tell them the truth so that they can really come in and destroy your life so I can be done with my job of destroying your life. Come on now. It's such a frustrating story to read. And you're like, oh, ooh, oh, come on. Meanwhile, ignorant Christian land, we have all these Christians doing these self-destructive things that have nothing to do with their assignment, wasting their time, wasting their energy, wasting their resources. Not what God told them to do, but what they got bullied into doing, coerced into doing, told by other people they should be doing, convinced into doing, lied to get them to be doing. I mean, all these things, not figuring it out, that they have not gotten on board with God's game plan, right? They're not an assignment. There's a million and one ways to be distracted from your assignment. You have to will to be an assignment. You have to be like Jesus. Isn't that WWJD? What would Jesus do? Assignment-based living. Oh, wow. You know, it's so much more than just forgiving those that hurt you. Like, there is this call to be faithful to an actual assignment. There's a revelation. God actually has something He wants you to be doing right now. And as you are faithful to do that, that will lead to your promotion, breakthrough, and all kinds of wonderful things. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Philippians 3:14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You know, some people, they think, well, the prize is when we die. Well, no, not at all. Actually, the mark for the prize is the high calling. See, there are callings and then there are high callings, right? So we're all put on earth, we have a calling. But as those that will to be assignment-based mindset people are faithful to their assignments one after the other, that graduates them into the mark for the prize of the high calling. And God says, you're going to be a high calling. Now, when we graduate from calling to high calling and we fulfill high calling, guess what? The rewards, you just hit the jackpot on reward. I mean, jackpot, you know, ching ching. God's really now pouring out the abundance of blessings, not only in this life, but in the life to come. Why? Because you were just faithful to live with an eternal perspective in mind and make God your priority. I mean, isn't that the whole thing? The two great commandments? Love your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. I mean, make God your first priority. But we're so confused. So we're on Facebook for 12 hours. Beating up other Christians, tearing people down. And, man, you know. Listen. I want you. This is me. I'm just putting on my coach hat right now. I want you to receive great reward from God for the successful execution of your life on this earth. Daniel, why are you talking to us assignment-based living? Let me repeat myself. I want you to receive great reward for the successful execution of your assignments on this earth. I'm doing this because, well, one, I love God and God told me to do it. But two, because I actually rejoice in the increased success, promotion, and reward of other people. I love to see other people get blessed, transformed, increased. Man, you know, if there's like 5 haters in the room, I'm on the other side because, you know, the person walks in the room, I just won $1 million. You know, 5 haters. Ugh, why would you get $1 million? Me? Praise the Lord, brother. Come here. Let me give you a high five. That is awesome. See, I love it. I love to see when other people are increased. I mean, it really makes me happy. And as a matter of fact, I'm like, man, you know, if there's anything I can do to help you go further, please tell me. How can I help? Like, one of the things I realized early on is that real leaders empower people to be successful in what they've been called to do. I don't use people to prop up my own platform. I empower people to be successful in the things which they've been called to do. And some of them will be called to help me build my platform, but it will be their calling to do that, not their punishment and their duty that I've bullied them into doing because I made them feel really guilty, which is the way some leaders lead, believe it or not. You know, maybe some of you have met leaders like this, right? So I'm telling you, the successful way to live is the way Jesus lived, which is to say, I'm going to be busy about my Father's business, which means that certain things are going to get put to the curb. You want to argue with me on this subject for 5 hours. Don't have time for it. You want to, you know, have me dedicate all of this area of my life to you for this reason. God didn't tell me to do that. I'm sorry. I can't. But you, God called me to minister to you, and I am on assignment to make sure that you get where God needs you to be. I'm called to be your friend. You know, like, I had a man on my program a while back named Tim Benz. And I really like Tim Benz. I mean, he is just such a powerful man of God. And he was talking about divine connections and how God actually has a blueprint in heaven for the relationships we are intended to be in. And our lives, when we align our relationships with the blueprints that God has for the relationships we should have in our lives, produce much greater fruit because those relationships are fruit-bearing relationships. They don't take away from us. They actually establish us. Wow. What a revelation there. You can have a calling to be in relationship with a certain person, to be friends with a certain person. You know, there are certain friendships that are callings of God. Wow. So this takes us into a conversation on the talents, right? Because I've been talking about this, hinting at this idea that, you know, not only is assignment-based living the most effective and productive way to live your life right now, but it also leads to this thing called reward later, right? And when we press on towards the mark of the prize, which is the high calling, and we earn that through our faithfulness and God gives us the high calling, I mean, jackpot, we get even bigger rewards. Well, there's this parable about the talents, and really this gets into reward, and I'm going to tell you why. The parable reads as follows. The kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1. To every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that had received 1 went and dug in the earth, and hid his Lord's money. And after a long time the Lord of those servants came and reckoned with them. And so he said, he that had received 5 talents came and brought the other 5 talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents, but behold, I have gained beside them 5 more. I executed my assignments. So, verse 21, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And verse 23, he also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained other 2 talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. And he that had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee and that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was scared. I was in fear, you know. And I went and hid your talents into yours. So here's what you had. Here's what you gave me. I didn't build any trucks because I was doodling all day. His Lord answered him and said, thou wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I sow not and gather where I have not strawed. You ought therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Therefore, take the talent from him and give it to the one that has 10 talents. For everyone that hath shall be given, and he that shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away even what he has. And cast the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now, you know, we get a few hints here. What is the context of this passage? The Lord clearly says, when I would received, I would then have my coming, I should have received my own with usury. In other words, the context is my coming, second coming. Jesus Christ is coming back. And so the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, the Bema seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether good or bad. Romans 14:10 says, but why dost thou judge thy brother, or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. There's this event. It's called the judgment seat of Christ, and it happens at the Lord's coming. In other words, after Jesus comes back, there is an event called the judgment seat of Christ, where everyone that has lived, every believer, will now stand before him, not for salvation, but to receive for what they have done. That's a reward. Either you get a reward or you lose the reward that you could have gotten. Aha. See, so the servant that did not have assignment-based living at the centerpiece of his life, he got nothing. He got what he even was given taken away from him. The Bible says that some people will be saved as though through fire, because all of their works will burn. Burn. But the one that had 5 talents and doubled it and got 10 got the guy's stuff that didn't produce anything. God just added it to him. He said, you know what? You're just, you so get it. Assignment based. You're living like Jesus. You know, doesn't the Bible say, be ye imitators of Christ? Right? So why are we so confused about assignment based living? Why is it not easier for Christians to say, you know what? Goodness gracious. Why would I want all my works to burn? Why do I want to just stay stuck and go nowhere and just ask God to deliver me from one situation to another as I just keep flunking? Like, why not just get on board with my assignment and commit to that? Because there's reward in that, not only in this life, but in the life to come. Now, what are some kinds of assignments, right? What are some of the kinds of assignments we might have? You might have an assignment to start a business, but you haven't started the business because you're afraid the business is going to fail. But God says start a business. So what do? Well, you don't just start. You write a business plan. You see, whenever you get an assignment, you begin to say, okay, here's the assignment. How do I execute? And you begin to let the assignment direct your course of action. What steps can I take? What steps can I take today? What steps can I take tomorrow? How can I make a plan? Right? So you might be on assignment to start a business. You might be on assignment to heal from a lifetime of trauma. Did you know that healing can be an assignment? Folks, I am working with some of the biggest heroes of all time. I am working with survivors that have endured unimaginable things. The crimes of, all time have been committed against the individuals that have been entrusted to me to help them walk through this journey of healing with Jesus Christ. And you know what? Their assignment is to heal. And yours may be as well. Sometimes we look at assignment as, oh, well, you know, I'm not starting a business successfully or I'm not starting a ministry successfully, so I'm just failing. Well, those aren't the only assignments you can get. And see, sometimes people are running away from a season of healing and trying to replace it with a season of activity. And they're in rebellion because, you know what? The activity will collapse because the strength that they need can only be established in the season of healing. So God has season-based assignments. And so we need to identify with God. God, what is my assignment for this season? And when he gives you the answer, then, well, now you have to engage your efforts to executing it, right? When God came to me and told me to write Noah's Ark in the end of days, that was an early assignment. That was in 2009. God says, you're going to write a book. It's going to be called, you know, Noah's Ark in the end of days. Here's the basic idea for it. And I said, okay, you know. 1 year later, guess what I did? I started writing. See, I didn't just have a book. I had to write the book. I had to sit down and actually commit time to put ideas down on paper, to organize. I'd never written a book before. I mean, it was, you know, I didn't even know what I was doing, but I got started. I was obedient. There's people, you know, God told you to write a book, but you're scared, or you're just procrastinators, or you're just lazy. I mean, come on, let's be real here. People say, God's not speaking to me. I say, well, what's the last thing he told you to do? Well, he told me to organize this thing. But, well, I just didn't feel like doing it. Oh, really? Okay. Well, the thing that he told you to organize, was it time sensitive? See, sometimes before God can release us into the next thing, he wants to see that we have the ability to do the last thing he told us to do. And only when we do it can we be released into the next thing. You know, one of the most effective ways to live life in conjunction with assignment-based living is to just pass the tests the first time around. You know, I mean, people often wonder, like, how, Daniel, did you get where you are? You look like a child. And some people, I mean, they think I am a child. I walked into the church the other day. Like, oh, yeah, we have a youth group. Would you like to join our youth? Like, come on, I'm 30 years old. But, you know, the thing is, right, we need to be faithful to the assignments that we've been given if we are to show to God that he that is faithful in little will also be faithful in much. You have to choose to be faithful. That's a choice. That's a choice. And so you know, in this process, you have to identify, like, God, what's my season and what's my mission? What's my assignment? And once you get it, then the next question is, okay, God, how do you want me to do this? You know, my case with that book, I just started writing it. And I wrote it chapter after chapter, one chapter at a time. And I just plugged away until I had a book. And then, you know, I wrote another book. God told me to start an email list, started sending out weekly emails, even when I didn't want to send out an email, still sent out an email. That eventually graduated into starting a blog talk radio program, you know? And so I transitioned to that, stopped writing as many emails, started doing blog talk radio program, wrote more books. I mean, everything that God tells me to do, I just do it. God told me to do a 30-day fast at the beginning of 2014. So I did a 30-day fast. I mean, I just didn't eat for 30 days, you know. God told me in 2011, don't watch any media all year. 1 year, no media, no television, no movies, no video games, nothing. Just completely erase that from your life for 1 year. And I, you know what? I did. I mean, I almost went crazy, but I just did it, you know? God speak, I do. Monkey see, monkey do. But see, the thing is like, okay, if God comes to me and he says, Daniel, do a 30-day fast, and I don't do it, then guess what he's going to do? He's going to come back a year later, 6 months later, and say, Daniel, do a 30-day fast. Like, you see, but because I was faithful to do it at the first mention, I did it. I got the reward in that season that accelerated things going forward. So you can actually maintain an acceleration in your life into greater things as you are just faithful to do things the first time around. In other words, don't circle the mountain. When God says do something, just do it. You know, and that keeps you in assignment. It also keeps you on God's timeline for your life. Other examples, like what are some other kinds of assignments? Be a friend. And sometimes God gives us assignment on a person. God says, I need you to be in this person's life. I need you to literally sow into this person influence. That can be assignment. The change in career path. You know, you've been doing one thing. God says, you know, I don't need you in business. I need you in ministry. Now you got to quit the business and go into ministry. Well, if you are refusing to lay down the business to go into ministry, you're in rebellion and you're not in assignment. God can't bless that. Now you're doodling. You should be building trucks. So it goes the other way too. You might be in ministry. God says, nah, no, it's time for you to lay down the ministry. You need to go into business. So we're afraid to go get out of ministry and go into business because we've been doing ministry all this time. How are we going to go into business? There's a lack of faith. We can't trust God. So we stay in ministry. Now the blessing of the Lord lifts. Why? We're out of season. So even grace, which I define as unmerited favor, divine influence upon the heart, God's ability to finish work, works in conjunction with assignment-based living because God's grace is present. His ability is present to empower us to do the things he wants us doing. Not the things that we want to be doing necessarily, right? So other things that are assignments, investing into our families. God will call us. That is a calling. Being a husband, being a wife, being head of a household, father. Like, these are callings and assignments from God. Other assignments, sowing financially into the kingdom of God. Other assignments, getting an education in a specific area that God wants to release you in. God says, you know what? I need you to be educated in this. And you say, Again, plopping yourself out of assignment. Why? You're selfish. So at the end of all this conversation, what do I want to tell you? Well, I want to tell you that if you want to live more effectively, just focus your energy on executing your assignment. Sometimes the people around you, they won't understand, or they'll say things like, you don't care, or they'll say things like, you know, you must hate me because you're not letting me manipulate you the way you used to let me manipulate you. Well, don't listen to that. You know what? God is your king. God is your reward. And God needs to be our top priority in our lives if we are to truly live lives that are pleasing unto him. So, like Jesus said, be busy about your Father's business. Folks, that's all for today. We'll be back next week on Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall. God bless and Godspeed.
Discovering the Truth with Dan Duvall is the premier radio program designed to center you on the kingdom of God, to equip you with faith in Jesus Christ, and to unveil the truth behind the lies. This program has been a production of Bride Ministries. You can find us at www.bridemovement.com. At our website, you can contact us, access resources, and support us with donations. We need partners in order to continue to produce our vision, which is to promote unity in the body of Christ worldwide and assist in the creation and development of sheep nations. Partner with us and be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. Until next time, God bless and Godspeed.